Well, hello there, and welcome to another exciting episode of Cooper Talks. And I always say that. I should be more imaginative, but I'm not. So there you go. Anyway, hello, it's been a little while since I've done one of these, but I'm going to look today at a completely different topic. That's right, I'm just jumping around all over the place. I'm looking at a case study for a topic that, if you're doing GCSE, you will know about. If you're not GCSE, if you just listen to me for fun and giggles, well, that's delightful, and thank you very much for doing that. Oh, I keep saying a lot here. That's not very good for a podcast. Anyway, I'm doing something on the Black Death as a case study, which links into a topic on medicine through time, very much focused on England, although that encapsulates Western medicine and medical advances and what was going on. So, very quickly, give you an overview of this medicine topic. I'm going to be looking at the Black Death as a case study and thinking about how it relates to medieval medicine as a whole, and really focusing on people's attitudes to explaining the causes of disease and how they treated or tried to cure disease. And the key thing to remember is throughout the whole medieval time period, the domination was largely religious. Everything was caused by God. So a disease was caused by God because you had sinned, you had done wrong, and God was punishing you. Or it was done by God as a means of helping expel evil from you. And that's why you were ill. It was a raging moral battle inside you. Or perhaps it was the devil making you ill to test your faith. So, or it could be God testing your faith. They weren't always consistent in this approach. But basically, God, in some way, shape or form, was responsible. And therefore, if that was the cause of the illness, treatment was usually religiously motivated. And that would come in the form of prayer, pilgrimages, possibly going to monasteries in holy sites that were associated with medical healing and praying. And when you were there, you would stay at a monastery. And monasteries or nunneries in these sites would offer, as they did for everyone, hospitality, which is why they're called hospitals today. Okay, that's where it comes from, hospitality. So anyway, so you've got medieval medicine, you've got that cure. If there was a more rational cure or more rational thought, it centered around the idea of the four humours, that there are these four fluids within us. There's, what was it? Blood, that was an obvious one. Yellow bile, which is kind of like vomit. Black bile, which no one's really sure about. Might be dried blood, might be feces, but basically black bile, not very nice. Or phlegm. And this theory comes from the ancient Greeks, from Hippocrates, which is where we get the Hippocratic Oath from. He came up, said there's four fluids inside of us and they need to be in balance, and they go out of balance, that's your body tries to get rid of them, and that's what makes you ill. And then these were taken on by a Roman writer a few hundred years later, first century BCE, and he said, yes, perfect theory, we've all got this soul and we need to make sure we have healthy exercise and fitness and all these sorts of things. And if you want to treat the imbalance of the humours, you need to have the opposite, theory of opposites. If you're hot, you need to cool down. If you are, if you've got a runny nose because there's too much moisture in you, too much phlegm, then you need something dry to dry you out. Ha ha, this is how it goes. So, yes, if you've got a fever, have a cucumber because it's cool. If you're cold and shivery, have something spicy hot because that will heat you up. There we go, that's how it works. That was kind of the main treatment and diagnosis. They also believed that if disease could be caught, it was either spread through sin, and sin possibly taking a physical form. And that quite often would be through bad smells, which they called miasma. So miasma would be a bad smell, and that was associated with being sinful. And so sin stinks. And if you smelt something bad, it was sinful. So you wanted to surround yourself with nice smelling things. Nice smelling things would be holy and like God. And that's why churches would use incense and nice smelling things and all of that. Now, scientifically today, we would say, well, that's clearly wrong. But you can see where they're coming from, because diseases tend to be spread through bacteria and through vermin that thrive in places with high, well, they expel methane, or in swamps, rotting food, rotting flesh, disease things produce an unpleasant smell, and that's where you're more likely to get bacteria, whereas nice smelling things tend not to produce bacteria unless they're conning you in some way. So you can see where the association is. And even during the medieval period, cleanliness was next to godliness. So people would wash, they would bathe and have these treatments, and they would try and keep clean, keep the roads clean, keep the home clean as far as possible. Not so much because they understood about germs and bacteria, because they didn't, they had no idea about that, but because they believed it would keep the devil away, and they wanted to create nice smelling, lovely things and keep everything clean, because that would associate you with God, and God was pure, and you would be pure, and therefore you would get to heaven. So sort of the right thing for the wrong reason, I suppose. But I mean, people always think medieval people, they were horrible, dirty peasants. But actually, even peasants and the lowest would regularly bathe in rivers and so on. And they would generally wash their hands before and after meals, which, you know, is pretty important thing we know today for hygiene. Like I say, it was for God and religious reasons. So that brings us to this case study I'm going to talk about, called the Black Death. Okay, now actually, Black Death is a term given by the Victorians. It wasn't a term used at the time, and it was based on the accounts. There's a lot of stuff the Victorians wrote where they just, well, basically made stuff up. But the Black Death kind of fits as a way, as a term. Now, this is a major, major moment in world history, English history, and medieval history. So the Black Death, as we'll generally call it, that arrives in England in 1348. And the real epidemic here is 1348 to 49. So just over a year. When it's at its height. Now, this, where did it come from? We know today, although no one knows for sure, so there's a lot of speculation. It started somewhere in Asia, and it's a classic one of those. It's a bacteria that then mutated to a new version, and it spread very quickly through fleas. So it's a bacteria that was carried by fleas that would live on the backs of rats, and the rats would travel over the developing trade routes from the Far East. They come through to Europe, and eventually it was recognised in Sicily in 1347, and from there it just quickly spread. And it's one of those moments where it was a brand new illness, and there was no immunity, as we would understand it today, anywhere in the world, and that meant it just spread rapidly. Okay, it was really infectious, really contagious. Some people have argued that the rapid spread actually means it must have been airborne to spread so quickly and to be so virulent. But we're not 100% sure. The dominant theory at the moment is that it's a bacteria carried by the fleas and probably was spread by flea bites. So not by the rats themselves, but by the fleas. But there is a case, possibly it was airborne, which would explain the rapid spread of it. But that's a debated point. Now, this affected everyone as it came through, so much so that in England and across the world, about a third of the population would die as a result of this illness. Now, I think if we compare that to COVID, while COVID was obviously horrible and very traumatic, a third of the world's population has not died. Barely anything, well, nothing anywhere near that, okay? But that puts it into some context. If you try and picture or imagine a third of the world disappearing within a year, okay? Maybe try and think about your local area or town and just imagine a third gone. That's how devastating it was. This will have, well, one theory from some scientists in Utrecht is that this possibly caused a mini ice age later on because of the rapid decline in the population. Certainly would have an economic impact in the long term because there were fewer peasants, and arguably from a medical point of view, this will also lead to advances in science during the Renaissance as people try and find new ideas and new ways of dealing with the Black Death. So there's lots of things around it that are basically quite interesting and that we need to know about. And it's a useful case study, and there's almost a before and after thing going on here, but we're going to think about it in the context of medieval medicine. So what exactly was the Black Death? Well, the Black Death is the bubonic plague. Now, it's called the bubonic plague because one of the key signs is you get these bubas, which are like boils, so massive blisters that develop on the skin. And they kind of fill up with black pus, okay? So that's what a buba is, that's why it's the bubonic plague. And that's why it would be called the Black Death, because the sign was these huge bubas filled with black pus, which was used in some cases to confirm the four humours, because that looks like black bile. Obviously, it's building up in the skin. And that was the main symptom. And normally, once you contracted it, that was it. Very few people survived. Some did, but most did not. And once you contracted it, you would probably live for 3 to 5 days at max. So it's virulent and it's fast acting. And at its height, about 200 people a day had to be buried in London. Now, I'm pretty sure this is right. I want to double check it, but that's where Blackheath got its name. Blackheath, outside of London, was where they buried all the bodies. And it was if you've ever been to Blackheath, as you sort of Blackheath Common, there's this huge flat grassland area. And it's called that because they needed to dispose of the body, they needed to stop bad smells and spread, and they just needed a large area of land to bury them all. And that was where they dumped them, outside the city walls. So, yeah, that was pretty unpleasant. Like I say, a third of England's population died. And normally when it hit a city or a town or a village, about 50% of the population would die. So huge impact. Now, this is the first moment the bubonic plague reaches Europe, reaches England. It's not the last by any means. Now, I'm going to give you a big warning if you do this as a GCSE exam course. The Black Death is the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages, the 1348 one. There will be regular outbreaks of the bubonic plague every 10 to 20 years following on from this. But because immunity had developed slightly, they were less severe. There will be something later on in the 17th century called the plague, the Great Plague, which will be bubonic. It will be the same disease and it will have a devastating effect on the population. But the plague as an event in the 17th century is different from the Black Death. So please remember that if you are looking at time periods and making comparisons. Questions about the Black Death mean the medieval period. Questions on the Great Plague will refer to the later time period. Okay, so just bear that in mind. So this huge and devastating illness sweeps across. Its symptoms would include chest pains, breathing troubles. You probably get a fever, be all hot and cold and shivery. You know what a fever is. You sneeze and cough a lot, and you would probably sneeze and cough up blood. And boils and black bubos would appear mostly, they could appear anywhere on the body, but mostly they would appear in the groin and armpit area, because that's where your lymph nodes are, which is to do with glands and healing and fighting infections. So you get them there. And once you got those, that was pretty much a sign you were a goner. Now, the Black Death comes along and it is confronted, or it's it confronts medieval medical understanding. So people look at the Black Death and this is as bad as it gets. Okay, this is horrific. And in the first instance, people think, why is this happening? Why is this scourge, this terrible thing being sent to us? And obviously, if you believe illness is caused by God, and it's a sign from God, then a lot of people will assume at this time that the Black Death was caused by God, and that either God had sent it as a punishment to humanity because everyone was so sinful and everything was so bad, it was a huge punishment on a par with Noah and the flood, okay? And so people are going to have a lot of religious anxiety. And they're going to start wondering, well, what did we do that was so bad? What was our sin? What can we do to atone for this? Others would say, well, God has abandoned mankind. So maybe he didn't send the punishment, but this thing has happened, which could be the act of the devil. And God has just got so fed up with humanity. They've gone away and said, no. We're not going to help you. So this, it was largely explained through religion. I said, well, it's a religious cause. However, the church struggled with this because this was so big and because so few people actually survived once they caught it, that the traditional idea of, well, once you've caught it for sin, so, you know, you need to atone for sins and you'll be able to get over it. And lots of people who would have been considered good and not particularly sinful or anything like that would be dying from this. And people, priests were at a loss, and it's kind of, well, what, why are these what we call good people? Why are they dying? And everyone's kind of looking at it. And so many people are affected. Everyone will know someone who's died and been affected by this. And they're going to be asking lots of awkward questions of the church. And it's a bit of a hard one because they're saying, well, if it's God and God is all powerful and that's what people believed in, that's what caused all illness. And it's, well, if God has sent this, why? Why is God sending bad things to punish us? People will question their faith. But also, what can we? Why is God not fixing it? And why are good people being affected? And it undermines faith in some of the key Christian principles. And the church is at a loss. The church can't understand why everyone's dying from this. And they come up with religious ideas. But it's not a satisfying cause. Some people, and it does mark a turning point in the use of astrology. So because in 1345, there'd been an unusual positioning of the planets, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn, and astrologers had seen this and thought it was a sign of something either very good or very bad coming. So the fact that the Black Death came 3 years later, they went, ah, it's something bad. And using the alignment of the planets and astrology and all these things to explain it, the church, which had been against astrology for diagnosing before, now will say, well, OK, maybe that's the case, because that's good, because we're not blaming God. We're not putting authority on God and everything like that. Astrology explains it, and hopefully we'll all survive because God loves us. So those were kind of the main religious causes. Now, other causes looked at, reckon that it was caused by an imbalance of the humours. So they could go with that. And particularly, you know, if you're sneezing and coughing, well, that's too much phlegm. And then there's the fever, it's too much blood in you, and especially if you're sneezing and coughing up blood, and then you get the black bubers filled with that. So in a sense, it did kind of conform with Galen and Hippocrates, the four humours. It was a sign that they were out of balance. But what people didn't know, and what they were unsure about, is what had caused the humours to go out of balance. And they looked at it and they said, well, it clearly can't be food because it spreads so quickly and it acts so fast. So it must be something else. What can you do to avoid it? So the assumption was it was carried by impure air. So it spread by miasma. And if you breathed in these bad smells, that was what would corrupt the body and lead to the imbalance of the humours. I suppose you might think of it like an immune system going into overdrive. So you breathe it in, and so your immune system just starts producing too much of all the humours, and they're all trying to get out of the body. So in a sense, this is why the four humours theory is going to remain a constant tool of diagnosis throughout the whole medieval period, because this is proof. Everything is able to conform to it. It can be used as a way of explaining it. And they would use miasma to explain the threat, the spread, the rapid spread. And that will link into the cure. Where did it come from? They assume that some volcano or earthquake had released a lot of sulfur, which smells pretty bad, into the air. And it was that bad smell that was spreading the disease. So that was kind of the main disease. But again, people wondered about where it came from. For ordinary people, didn't really understand this, and it's terrifying. I mean, we understand science. I mean, something like COVID, we understand what COVID was. We understand how it spread. We understood how it attacks the immune system and all those sorts of things. That didn't make it any less worrying or scary. The Black Death is much worse than COVID and much more fatal and awful. Really painful and horrific, and pretty much fatal if you got it. And the people at the time had no understanding. They didn't know what it was. So either they had to accept the religious idea that they were sinners or God had abandoned them, or, as ever, you blame other people. And the most common thing to do, sadly, was to blame people that were different, the others, and the assumption that they'd spread it, particularly along trade routes, where you get lots of travellers from distant lands. So they assumed it must be, some people assumed it was just spread by foreigners and outsiders. Now, across Europe, it will be the Jews who are blamed for this. And again, you can, the trade routes that Jews were allowed to participate in and in the cities and Jewish quarters, it will spread through there. Obviously, there is absolutely no basis for this, in fact, at all. But people would look to blame certain groups of people. And sadly, the Jews were commonly blamed in Europe. Why that didn't happen in England was because in the 13th century, so about 100 years before, all the Jews had been expelled. So there weren't any Jews allowed to be in England at this time. So they can't have been the cause. But again, we get this irrational fear of the other and trying to blame some cause, because most people didn't want to accept this was happening because they were sinful, so it must be something else sinful that has caused it on them. So that was kind of medieval ideas about the causes of the Black Death, which completely fits in with medieval causes of illness and what people understood from that. So what about treatments? How would you treat the Black Death? Well, as ever, the main one was religious. Confess your sins, pray, try and go to pilgrimages or holy sites, which is not great, for stopping the spread of the Black Death. However, because it acted so quickly, you almost didn't have a chance to do real penance. So people would put their faith in God, but there was a kind of fatalism about it, that God had already decided it was God's will, and therefore there's no point even trying to find a cure. They're going to get it. They're going to die. It's God's decision and we shouldn't question it. So there was a degree of fatalism about this when it came to religion. Almost that you should pray and hope for the best, but more in preparation for the afterlife rather than for anything right now. Not really much of a treatment, but there you go. That was what they did. Now, some of the physicians, not that there were many, or medical people, wise women in communities, would do what they'd always done. So, you know, they'd look at the sneezing, the bleeding, they'd look at the bubas and say, ah, ha, ha, we know how to cure this. We will remove the humours. We will do some bloodletting and some purging of the body, clean it all out to try and correct the humoral imbalance. Usually didn't work because it was a bit late by then, and if there's one thing you need when you're fighting infection, it's lots of blood. So it really didn't work. It probably caused the spread of the disease, as physicians were going around, or people were treating it, and highly infectious disease, going around trying to cut someone's skin or bleed them or trying to give them an enema or something, probably not the best idea. People would try strong smelling herbs like aloe or myrrh, because they thought they'd give them cleansing property. They'd try the theriaca, because that was kind of a catch-all. You know, it's like 70 spices in there. One of them's bound to work. Lighting a fire, boiling vinegar to drive off bad air. None of these worked. Okay. And although it won't necessarily lead to change in the immediate time, but it will lead to people starting to say, not necessarily question the four humours as a cause, but starting to think about how they cure and understand disease. And it takes a long time, but some historians have argued that this possibly led to the Renaissance and the scientific inquiry in the 15th century, with people starting to try and look for better cures. Now, it didn't really come through or happen during the period we're looking at, but maybe it did inspire them. But the point is, the traditional humoral cures and the purging and the bathing and all of that didn't work. It clearly didn't work. It was definitely ineffective, and this kind of shows it. What's interesting is, even after the Black Death has passed, people carry on using these treatments, and it shows the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding to go further. Now, occasionally physicians or surgeons, more surgeons, would occasionally try and lance the buboes. And very occasionally, people whose buboes burst or were lanced would survive. But it was very hit and miss, and obviously huge risk of catching the disease if you were trying to lance buboes and so on. So, yeah, the cures didn't work. And what's more interesting is that in the 150 years after this, treatments didn't really change at all. And that's something worth considering. Why didn't they? You would have expected someone to ask questions. But it goes back to the idea that everything comes from God, and therefore it's God's will. You have to accept it. Other people, well, they became desperate to try everything that they could. They would try religious things. They'd try confession, prayer. They'd try the bleeding. But priests, physicians, no one was capable of curing the disease. And it just showed the inadequacies of medicines. Apothecaries at the time would keep selling medicines and herbs and trying to give them all ideas. But they didn't work. Nothing worked. I think that's the key thing to think. The reason for that? Because they didn't understand the true cause of it and they just ascribed it to God's will, it was impossible to know how to cure it. If you don't understand the cause, if you only try and treat the symptoms, you're not going to solve the problem of the Black Death. And this shows the severe limitations of medieval medicine. What they did try and do was, while they couldn't cure it, they did come up with ideas about how to prevent the Black Death. So again, how do you stop yourself catching it? They started to introduce the idea of prevention as well. Actually, no, they had this before with Galen and staying fit and healthy. But they come up with these ideas how to avoid the Black Death. If you catch it, you're done for. So how do you stop it? Again, a dominant method is supernatural means. Pray to God, fast, go on pilgrimages, confess, don't go sinning. That should help you. Make lots of offerings to God. Show God how sorry you are. And because it was so severe, it led to an increase in self-flagellation. That's kind of where you whip yourself and cause yourself pain to show how sorry you are for being an awful, terrible sinner, in the hope that God would look at that and go, oh yeah, they're really sorry, I'm not going to give them the Black Death. So that was one of the most common ones, and it's in line with the religious domination at the time. Other people went on the theory of just stay away from anywhere there was plague. So a guy called Guy de Chauliac, I'm not sure I said that right, but I know I haven't. He was a physician to the Pope, and he said to everyone, go quickly, go far, and return slowly. So basically, leave the cities, leave the towns and populations, go and live in isolation somewhere far away from everyone else. Stay away from the impurity and the sin. And while it might be for the wrong reasons, actually, that wasn't bad advice there, because obviously if you're away from people who are infected, probably not going to catch the disease, but you won't catch the disease. Now, in some parts and for various cultural reasons, movement might be impossible, particularly if you were poor. So on that case, people went, well, it's all the bad smell. So instead of running away from cities, which are pretty stinky, we can't do that. So we'll just go around with nice bags of posies, they're called, little pouches full of nice smelling herbs and stuff, flowers or herbs, and they go, that smells nice. If I keep smelling this, that'd be lovely. I won't get the Black Death. Now, you come across posies if you've ever heard the nursery rhyme, ring a rose is a pocket full of posies, tissue, we all fall down. That's the bubonic plague, but that's the great plague. That comes later on, but it shows commonality of medicine. The posies are there, smell them, no Black Death. Again, didn't really work because it wasn't caused by smell. But if it was airborne, covering your mouth with nice smelling things may have helped, incidentally, but it's difficult to prove that one way or the other. On this occasion, this shows a slight change in medical advice. It's only slight. During the Black Death, they actually advised people to stop bathing. And the reason for that was they thought bathing hot water might open up the pores and allow the bad smell to penetrate more easily. So there was a decline in bathing. And while generally that's not a good idea, people who relied on washing communally in communal baths in towns and cities or even in rivers together, there's a case it may have helped stop the spread of the disease, but again, possibly the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. Now, in a wonderful sign of how desperate people were at this time to find an answer and how short physicians and medical scientific knowledge was at the time, some physicians, there was one in Italy who said, right, the best thing is to do joyful things. Be happy. Listen to happy music. Avoid anything sad. And if you just stay happy, I suppose the modern equivalent is sort of manifestation, you know, manifest happy feelings and you will never be ill. Which obviously didn't work. But it shows how desperate the physicians were. They were just leaping on absolutely anything to try and encourage people or come up with a solution to maybe how to stop the spread of it. Again, they're desperate because they don't understand it. Medical knowledge is too short. People were the same, ordinary people. One thing they did start to do, because, you know, once you got the Black Death, you're probably doomed, and it's probably because you're a sinner. So people will stop visiting family members or people they know who've caught the plague. And so people started or made sure they avoided the sick. So in a lot of medieval medicine, it was about going and praying for the sick, being by their bedside to pray and beseech God. But for the Black Death, they say, oh, no, clearly too sinful. I'm not going to go near them. And obviously, that may have helped reduce the spread of it, because by avoiding people with the Black Death, you are less likely to catch it yourself. Now, this will lead to the big medical innovation of the medieval times. It's the one new thing that comes in. It's the idea of quarantine, which we all know thanks to COVID. So the idea of quarantining people is new. And it's obviously the idea of separate the sick from the healthy to stop the spread of disease. Yes, there had traditionally been leper colonies, which you could argue is a type of quarantine, but this was going beyond that and actually having people stay at home or closing off parts of the city and just keeping the sick away from the healthy to stop the spread of the disease. And obviously that's something used in the Black Death and something we have a bit of familiarity with from the modern era. They also, local councils, local authorities across England would start introducing new laws to quarantine people, to say, nope, you have to stay where you are. You must stay in your town, your village. You must stay in your home. You must not leave or travel around. And people weren't supposed to travel from place to place or do any unnecessary traveling. It is very similar to the lockdown laws that we all had. People who were new to an area had to stay away for 40 days just to make sure they didn't bring the infection in. Again, we can see that with quarantine rules. You can think about the travel arrangements today. And they would quarantine houses with a big red cross that had the plague to try and keep it where it was and to avoid the spread. Where it fell down was because of the domination of religion, because they did think that it was maybe necessary to ban preaching and religious processions and other acts, stop people gathering at church services, which might spread the disease. However, local governments, local councils at the time have very little power. And again, there weren't any police to enforce this. The local council really didn't have the resources. So they might impose the law, but there was little they could do if people decided to ignore them. Rich people, particularly at this time, they just keep moving around because they could. It's like all the people that flouted lockdown laws, but with no sense of any punishment or inevitability. So they moved around. And the church, because people believed prayer and church services and absolution was the key thing to preventing the spread of the Black Death, that you couldn't really stop people going to church. That would be even worse, would make God even angrier. So although that might have been effective, it didn't go that far. So we get the introduction of quarantine. It does help slightly. And it is a new innovation, but it's quite limited because of the domination of religious ideas and the lack of power of local authorities. The other thing that you got was, although local authorities generally had in the medieval era and did try and keep the roads clean and try and remove dead animals and stuff that smell, you know, for hygiene, they did develop a theory that if you imagine a miasma, it's kind of a big balloon, kind of a big blob. And the theory was, if one miasma came up against another miasma, they'd sort of bounce off each other. I know, it's strange. But so they didn't worry that the two smells would mingle. They kind of saw them as separate entities. And so local councils in some areas will actually keep cleaning the streets and will allow the rubbish and dead animals and all the rotting bodies to sort of build up to create a particularly nasty smell, in the sense that a nasty smell that doesn't cause the Black Death would stop the miasma that spread the Black Death from getting in. So it kind of create a force field of bad smell. Needless to say, that didn't really work and probably made things a lot worse for people. Again, it shows the limitations of medieval medicine and people's lack of understanding about the true cause of it and all the things that happened. The Black Death would, after a year, the particular virulence of the first attack would ease. And after this, people who survived the Black Death, I mean, it would, you know, be around for a long time, but people who survived it would have acquired, or they had some sort of genetic ability to stave off the infection, or they developed some sort of immunity in the community that allowed people to survive it. And also the virulent strain sort of calmed down, okay, or the worst of it calmed down. It's like a big flash when you light, if you light a gas stove and you sort of, the gas is going, you go click, 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 and there's an initial boom, and it's big. Well, not that big, obviously. You don't want to burn the kitchen down, but it sort of goes up and then it settles down. And that's kind of what happened. There was this big boom of it breaking out. Lots of people died, and particularly it's the weaker, the older, the more vulnerable, the sickly already. They go first because they're weaker. What you're left with is a generally slightly stronger, healthier average population. And a younger population that will be better equipped to deal with it. But the Black Death is going to become a fact of life that you just have to deal with. And it's not, it never really properly goes away. It's still around. You could still catch it today, not to scare you. But nowadays it's treated by antibiotics. After 1349, it will ease. And the people that have survived, some people will start asking questions and maybe trying to challenge. But overall, the assumption is that if you've survived, it's God's will and you are blessed and you are chosen. And it's all thanks to religion. Or this was a particularly bad moment where God wreaked a punishment on humankind and you were lucky to survive. So fundamentally, it didn't really change too many attitudes, certainly not in the 100 years immediately following. But later on, people will start revisiting it, possibly. So, quick summary then. Mostly, the cause of Black Death was thought to be religious, motivated by God, either because of an alignment of the planet or a punishment from God, or it was caused by a miasma. The treatments were typical for medieval times: prayer, strong-smelling herbs, herbal remedies, humoral treatments. The humoral treatments don't work, but none of these works. They actually make the patients worse. So they start to focus, instead of treatment, the focus is mainly on prevention better than cure. The only way to stop the spread of the Black Death is to prevent it from getting it. That's basically because once you caught it, you died. So there's no real cure for it. People would try and avoid catching it by avoiding family members and leaving infected areas. And we get quarantines being imposed by town authorities and local governments. And so that is a bit of an overview, a case study of the Black Death, which can be used to demonstrate and prove the concepts and problems with medieval medicine, both in explaining its causes and in the way it was treated. And we can also make some comparisons there with modern quarantines or modern treatments of medicines, usually on how things have improved. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you found that interesting. I will do more medicine ones as we go through, probably all the case studies that need to be done. And I will hopefully be doing a few more on the Cold War, the Russian Revolution, and even Elizabeth I, and possibly, if you're very lucky, other Tudors. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this, and I will do another one again at some point. Thank you very much, and goodbye.